You're not still having this, right? This is still
No, this is all
leftovers.
Leftovers. The last major topic that we discussed was writing with your left hand. And the topic that we discussed, the last major topic before that, was making tsuros, which means painting paintings, or in the case of a utensil, doing some artistic work on the utensil. And the question is, which malacha are you chayav for? And I found that Rav Gedalia Felder in Yesodei Yeshurun has an entire chapter on this topic. So I photocopied a little bit of the chapter, not the entire chapter. You'll see page Samachos 60, Hamavir Tseva al Atzura, Hamatzayir Tzuros Peshabis, etc. He begins with the Rambam that we spent a lot of time on, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, Roshem Toldes Kosefu. So whereas Rabbi Yossi has Roshem as an Av, we Paskin like the Tanakama that Roshem is only a Tolda. Ketzad. The Rambam asks, give me a case of Roshem, which is a Tolda of Kosef. And if it's a told of Kosev, there has to be some inherent similarity to the Avmalo. And he says, HaRoshem Rishomim V'tzuros V'kosel U'B'shashar K'yotze Bahen K'derech Shatzayorin Roshmim HaReza Chayev Mishum Kosev. So we see clearly that according to the Rambam, you could have a case of Mitzayer Tzirim and Yechayev Mishum Kosev. It's a Tolda of Kosev. You remember that we discussed this. And this is against Rav Yossi because we pass in like the Chachon. The Magid Mishnah here in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin quotes the Machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Chachomim. And he points out two things. Number one, that insofar as the Rambam paskins like the Tanakam against Rabbi Yossi, Roshem becomes a tolda, not an av. That's point number one. And point number two, that a oset tsura b'kli, if instead of making this tsura on a kosel, he made it on a kli, then he's chayav mishum makav patish. And this is based on the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Tezayin. So I have here the Rambam in front of me. I'll just very quickly show you the two Rambams. The first Rambam we read it, and we spent a lot of time on that Rambam. And the Rambam says at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, Roshem told us Kosev who? And he says, Ketzad, etc., etc., and Kiderach Shatzayorim Roshem. Now let's turn back one perek to Perek Yud, and here we want to look at Halacha Tez Zayin, which is sort of in the middle of this perek. And there the Rambam writes, after introducing Meleches Makav Patish, he writes Hatzar Bekli Tzura, etc., etc. The Rambam says Chayav Hareza told us Makav Patish. Hine, going back to Rav Felder, HaRambam Chilek Kan Ezdino to Beroshem Rishomim and Mitzayer Tziurim on the Kosel. The Rambam says Yischai Mishum Aleches Kosei, but in the case of Oset Tzur B'Kli, the Rambam says Yischai Mishum Makim Patish Feliyo Rabba Tomo Lov Bozesh Achilek Aydino. What's the difference between the two? And the Mishnah Brura in his Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Mem explains that the source for the Rambam of Mitzayer Tziurim, that he's Chayav Mishum Kosev, is Yushalmi. And Yushalmi tells a story. What happened in the story? There were two individuals. One was Tzar Tzura, the other was Tzoveh. what happened? The Rishon Asat Siur B'Aver Obidyo. So we'll call him Reuven. Right? Do you remember this? Rabbi says, ring a bell.
Yes.
Okay, great. So Reuven draws the outline, and he does so with Dyo. So you have the Tzir, you have this picture on the wall, and now the Sheni comes along, V'umavir Atseva Olav. He fills in the outline with paint. So the Rambam says that the first one, Reuven, who was Mitzayer, he made the Tzir Kider Shatayon Roshmim, he's Chayev from Aleches Kosev. Because since he made a meticulous writing and he used Dyo and Aver on a Kosev, therefore he's Chayev Mishum Kosev. But the Sheni, all he does is Tzovea. He's just painting it. And if he's painting it, he's Chayev Mishum Tzovea. And the Mishnah Berurah learns that the Rambam went out of his way here in Perek Yud Aleph to say Kiderach Shatzayon Roshmin in order to indicate that he did the first pu'ula, the first action of creating the Rishima, and therefore he's going to be Chayev Mishum Kosev. But the second guy, he's only being Miyape Es Hakli, you might want to underline those words, is Rakli Yapos Es Hakli, he's coming only to beautify the utensil, and therefore that's not Moleches Kosev. That's Moleches Makom HaPatish. And you may recall that we tried to embellish this distinction made by the Bir Halacha with the Kilas Yaakov, the stipler, who says that you could always ask in the case of Tziur, what's his purpose? Is he conveying a message? Or is he beautifying some object? In the case of sending a message, then the Tziur becomes a Roshem that's a told of Kosev. The essence of Kosev is to convey a message. In the case of Tsar Tzur al Kli, there his goal, his purpose is to beautify the Kli. And that's not Moleches Kosev. That can only be a Molech of Makom HaPatish. Again, we have another discussion here about why this would not be Moleches Tzovea. It probably would be Moleches Tzovea. But in any event, it's Makom HaPatish because that completes the Kli. What I found fascinating here is on the flip side, Samach Aleph, a paragraph that starts Besidri Hadvar, Besadri Hadvarim Lutfus, as I was preparing this article for printing, I saw a sefer called the Mishnas Avram. Now, does everybody know where Rav Gedalia Felder rabbinated? In Toronto. And who came before him in Toronto was Rav Avram Price, Avram Aaron Price. I was zocher to meet some of his talmidim, are still floating around in Toronto. Everybody remembers Rav Felder, anybody who's like above the age of 50 or 55, but very few people, only the old people, remember Rav Price. And apparently he was considered a gadol shebigdolim. He made, you know, he sort of like brought Torah to Toronto, you know. Then later on Rav Yaakov came to Toronto and so forth. So he writes in his Sefer called Sefer Hasidim, which I'm not sure why he writes a commentary on Sefer Hasidim. That's beyond. But anyway, it's called Mishnas Avram. I don't have a copy of the Sefer, so I only know it from here. And if this is a taste of the Sefer, I'm very excited about the Sefer. I'd love to get a hold of it. He says the following. Yeshnam Shnei Minim Shel Tzuros. Did my underline come out, by the way? I underlined it in red, so I don't know if red comes out. Yeshnei minim shel tzuros. There are two categories, or types, a typology of tzuros. Yeshem etzaya tzura l'shem noi v'yofi. The purpose of the tzura is simply to beautify. Ki ein shem etzayrim v'shashar. There's a certain kind of a paint or a color that is very beautiful. But V'yesh is the second category. Shem etzayrim tzuros b'chdei shaharoeh asher yira osan yikre v'yavin mehem ki'u shuha yakosuf. It's very interesting that you're writing for the purpose of conveying, transmitting a message. Very close to what we wanted to say, but he fleshes it out. He gives the following example. K'mo shemishtam shemayom b'sifrei limud li'yaladim. when you teach children and they have children's books, then kosvim milim, they write words, umitzayrim tsuros, and they also have pictures. Hatinok kore es hamilim vatsuros biyachat. You know, sometimes you have a child who's very young and he reads the pictures. And then you have a child who's very mature and he reads the writing. And then he looks at the pictures. And then you have this middle category of children who are not sophisticated enough to go straight to read the words. That's too hard for them. And on the other hand, they can read the words. So what they do is they read the words and the pictures simultaneously. And they get a full sentence. In other words, sometimes the words on the page are very short. They're very terse. And they're able to flesh it out by looking at the picture. The picture is worth 1,000 words, but they only have a few words on the page. It's a whole psychological analysis here of educating children by reading them children's books. He says that you'll find this even in university, even amongst the more mature students. Kimo gidolim shekosvim michtav verotzim lirmos lasheni ezidovar. Sometimes you want to send, in addition to the written word, a secret message together in this letter. And the tsuros themselves are somehow part of an agreement, you know, that was made up between the writer and the receiver, that this would communicate a certain message. Sometimes the tzura is very clear and obvious, but that's not going to conceal the meaning. But if they had a sort of like a secret kind of a tzura, he says, Zelo gora minotrikin. The Gemara says that in notrikon you could be chai for writing one letter. Now one letter doesn't mean anything. It doesn't, but if you add a strickle to it on top, it becomes a word. And why is that so? Why you chai for one letter of the notrikon? He says, that the entire message is inherent in that one letter, which is an otrikon. And he wants to transmit a certain message, lo dialo, and that he can do through this one letter. Mashenki, let's go back to the first category, where he's painting paintings l'shem, l'shem yofi, Mashenki kishitzar tzuras l'yofi, sham, he says, Eino bechlal kosev, that's not considered part of kosev because there he's interested only in yofi. Now again, you and I might argue that the boundaries here are a little bit, how do you say in English, metushtash, it's a little bit unclear, ambiguous, because, you know, at what point do you say, at least that's the way I wanted to say it, that even when you put a painting and a picture on a canvas, you are communicating a message. There's hopefully a deeper meaning in the canvas. Again, I always apologize for contemporary art, which I never understood. Maybe I should have taken contemporary art in college, but I never took an art class in college, but I have an interest in art. But usually when I see art, I see a powerful, profound experience that's going on, and now if the artist is successful at conveying the passion of that experience, then to me that's a great piece of art. But he's saying no, that there in the case of Tzar Tzura, he says if he does it for the sake of Yofi, that's not called Kosev. Now in my case, obviously the painter wants to achieve two goals, and that's where I find it very ambiguous. This overlap, sort of. On the one hand, he may be trying to convey an entire message, and at the same time, he's trying to put something beautiful on canvas. So, where does that fit into? He's saying that Tzar Tzura L'Yofi is not ksiva, because it doesn't convey any message. It therefore comes under Meleches Makom V'Patish. On the other hand, tsuros al kosel, which are done for the sake of conveying a message, and he says that sometimes you might have a secret message that you want to pass on, or you want to be able to read the in the case of young children, to read the text in you know, in integrated with the picture itself, and the picture is meant to sort of encourage and help the child get through the written words. There it's not l'shem yofi, it's l'shem havaras meser, as we called it, right, for the purpose of conveying a message. But it seems to me that you might have some twilight zone in between, a certain element of overlap between the two. You're not sure exactly how to define it. Okay, that's one thing that I wanted to share with you that's relevant to what we discussed, not the last year, but the one before that. But today, we want to get back to what we discussed in the last year. And just to summarize the last point that we made before we embarked on a major research project about what's called Melacha Miskayemes, the last point that we made was that the Rambam has, with regard to Meleches Kosev, an element that seems to indicate that we're talking about not Meleches Machsheves as a unique Shabbos halacha that patters you up, but rather a universal halacha in Kosev. And what we did was we quoted the Sefer HaTruma, who says that if you write with your left hand on Shabbos, you're patur, that we know, and therefore if you write tefillin with your left hand, the tefillin are psulos. And the reason for that is apparently left-handed writing is not considered ksiva. And that's not a unique Shabbos halacha. Otherwise it would have no application, no extension to tefillin, but rather it's a universal halacha and defines Meleches Kosev.
Not true for get.
Now, as far as get is concerned, we had the Ramah with the Chelkas Machokeh, who paskins that if he went and wrote, he should not have done so, but if the sofer went ahead and he wrote the get with his left hand, then the get is kosher, because the Chelkas Machokek understands that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos has no application beyond the level of Shabbos, beyond the bounds of Shabbos, because the tour of writing with your left hand is based on what? Meleches Machsheves. So apparently, according to the Ramah / Chelkas Machokek / Beis Shmuel, all together on the same page in Kufchav Gimel in Ebenezer, our sugya is predicated on, in the left, you know, left-handed writing is predicated on the unique, specific principle in Shabbos of Meleches Machsheves, and therefore there's no way that we can tolerate the Sefer Trumos that if you write with your left hand, the Tefillin are possible. And therefore, what we try to postulate is that it could very well be possible that, according to the Shitas HaRamah, we may have halachos in ksiva, which are universal. I'll explain what I mean in just a second. And we may have halachos in ksiva that are specific and unique to Shabbos. So, for example, if a person does a malacha b'shinui, like ksiva b'atzmol, that might be a unique Shabbos halacha. However, what about, as the Igle Tal asks, if he eats something shalokid derech, that already comes under a universal halacha. It's not limited to Meleches Machsheves. So if he eats, for example, hot chelev, that's burning his throat, or for that matter, raw chelev, and he hasn't cooked it, the Gemara establishes in Psochim Chafei that he's potur. And why is that? Because shalokid derech achilosan. And the Igle Tal works very hard to understand when do we say it's this unique halach and Shabbos based on Meleches Machsheves is limited to Hilchas Shabbos, and when are we allowed to apply it elsewhere and say that if you do it in an unusual way, that nullifies and undermines any sort of halacha with regard to Kol Tarkula, even, for example, with regard to Achilas Isur, that I ate something and I did it in an unusual way, and I'm potter because it was shalok kederech or b'shinui. That's not a Meleches Machsheves halacha in Macholos Asuras, you know, kol nevela, kol chelu lo tochal. That's not a Meleches Machsheves. So the Igle Tal tries to work this out. According to the Sefer HaTrumas, even within the laws of Ksiva, we may have different halachas. For example, according to the Sefer Trumas, if you write with your left hand, then that would be a p'tur in Kala Tarkula, meaning Afkas Shem Ksiva. And therefore the Sefer Trumas came way before the Ramah, would postulate that if you wrote a get with your left hand, it would not be Ksiva. Meaning the same pasuk that says Uksavtem al Mezuzos Beisecha with regard to Sefer Torah, or Tefillin, or Mezuzah, applies to the Kasev La Sefer Krisus. So now we have something which we thought was a unique Shabbos Ptur, and therefore since it's not Melechus Machshevus when he uses left hand, then left-handed writing would have no relevance to Kol Tarkula. If we're now introducing the Sefer Trumas, it could very well be possible, and I would even insist that it's absolutely true that according to Sefer Trumas, the left-handed writing is not a specific Melechus Machshevus halacha, but rather a universal halacha. That's where we left it. I guess it would have been on Yom Chamishi, right? That makes sense? Okay. Now, Rabosai, we want to pick up another dimension of Melechus Kosev. And that's the Rambam here in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tezvav. And this is all based on a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Kosa v'mashkin, he wrote two letters on Shabbos using not ink, but rather fruit juices, made peros. Bechol davar she'eino miskayim, and we'll have to see what that means, but what it, you know, in a more, shall I say, gross kind of way, in other words, without getting to fine-tune the details, it means that it's not going to last. It's a fading ink, so to speak. You know, it's going to dissipate. And the Rambam codifies that here in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, and he says, "Eina kosev chayev ad sheyichtov b'davar roshem v'omed kigon dio shchar sikra," etc. So the Rambam, excuse me for just 1 minute. The Rambam says you're potur for writing with something that doesn't last. If you fast forward to the end of the Rambam, he gives you the following examples. Bidavar akose bidavar she'en rishumo ome kigon mashkin ume peros. And he says, in such a case, you're potur. And here, we want to ask the following question. Is this a specific halacha in Hilchas Shabbos, which means that he's potur if he writes with meimashkin, meperos, because of what? Meleches machsheves osra Torah? Or no? This is a basic halacha in ksiva in Kol Torah Kula. Say it out loud again, Michael. Non-permanent, right. So what happens if he wrote a get with a non-permanent ink, like May Peros? So I forgot to bring the Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin. Zev, what do you say?
No.
Oh, it's machloket, but what does the Rambam hold? I mean, right now I'm interested only in the Rambam. Do you happen to know what the Rambam says? The Rambam says the get is not worth the paper it's written on. Ain't no get. And that's the Rambam at the beginning of the ninth perek. Just 1 second. I'm sorry. Of the fourth perek of Hilchas Gerushin. So let me just take a minute's break. I apologize. But I have to bring a Rambam here just to show you that I'm not... What? You know what? Rambam Noshin. Yes.
The Rambam says.
Now, if you look at Perek Aleph Milchus Gerushin, the Rambam says that Kol Malkom Shekasavti Bechibur Ze Eino Get Haget Batal Min HaTorah. The Kol Malkom Shekasavti Haget Pasul Hu Kashem Min HaTorah Hu Pasul Nidivrei Sofer. So the Rambam was very well thought out here in his choice of language. And thank you so much.
Please.
And if the Rambam says eno get, it means that it's possible with the rice. So let me read to you the language of the Rambam in Perek Daled min Hilchos Gerushin. The Rambam writes, im kosav es I get, v'dover she'eno omed, kagon mashkin umei peres v'chayotze behen eno get. So again, I ask myself the following question. And maybe you gentlemen can answer this for me. When the Rambam says that you're potter for writing two letters on Shabbos with Mei Peros, is the Rambam presenting, formulating a unique Molechas Machsheves Ptur or a universal Halachin Ksiva? Universal Halachin Ksiva. All that is fine and dandy. Until I read the Magid Mishnah. And that's where we left it on Yom Chamishi. The Magid Mishnah tells me that this Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, if you look at the Magid Mishnah, he says that this is based on a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Beis Omid Beis. Now let's open up Masechta Shabbos to Kuf Beis Omid Beis, and let's see what it says over there.
I got it for you.
You have it?
Yeah, I have it here. It's underneath
small,
the pile.
Small print.
Yeah, that's good enough. I mean, it's just one line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kol Ha'Oseh Melacha, okay, Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the first Mishnah in the Perek that we're learning, U'alakto Miskayemes B'Shabes Chayev. Now, if you read that carefully, the Mishnah is establishing a condition. When are you Chayev in Hilchos Shabes? That's only because the Melacha Miskayemes. If it's not a Melacha Miskayemes, then you're not Chayev. And that's the Mishnah which the Magid Mishnah quotes as the source for this Rambam. Now I have good news and bad news for you. The good news for you is that the Rambam quotes that Mishnah in Perek Tes with regard to Tzoveh, Meleches Tzoveh. And the Rambam writes that if you use certain kinds of tzeva that are not going to last long, then you're potter. So let's quickly look at that Rambam, and that I think I have here number 3 on your page, which is Perek Tes Halacha Yud Gimel. Okay, so we just have to turn a few pages back in the Rambam. And the Rambam writes, Aval tseva she'eno miskayim, okay, eina tzoveh chayv ad she'yehei tseva miskayim, aval tseva she'eno miskayim klal, kigol she'hev yir srak, o shoshar al gabi barzel, o nechoshes v'tzovo, potu. Why sharei ato ma'avir amivor l'shaito me'eno tzoveh klum? V'chol she'ein molachto miskayim es b'shabes potu. That's word for word the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amid Beis. So the good news is that the Magid Mishnah is very right, he's very correct in the fact that the Rambam is sensitive to that Mishnah, you know, consistent, and the Rambam definitely codifies that Mishnah that requires a Malachtam is Kayemis. The Rambam applies it here explicitly on in Perites with regard to Meleches Tzoveah. And now the Kesef Mishnah claims that the Rambam is applying it to Meleches Kosev. And therefore, if he writes with an ink that is going to completely disintegrate with the passage of time, like Mei Peros, he's potter because it's not a Melech HaMiskayemes.
It's like drawing on a window with a finger on it.
Yeah. Excellent example. You have a fog on the window now, and that's Ninyani Diyoma, right? And you write on the fog. That's not going to last very long. Now, according to the Magid Mishnah, the source of the Rambam for a ksiva b'mei peros is the Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. That's explicit in the Magid Mishnah. If the Magid Mishnah was analyzing the Rambam in Perek Tes with regard to Tzoveya, that would be fine, because the Rambam is telling you that a Malacha on Shabbos, for example Tzoveya, in order to qualify as a Malacha, has to be a Malacha Miskayemis, and that was codified by the Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. But when you get to the case of Kosev, and the Rambam tells you that if you write with Mei Peros, you're Potur, that's not based on the Mishnah and Kuf Beis. That's not a principle that defines Malacha on Shabbos. That, you know what, this Ksiva is not a Ksiva on Shabbos HaMachayevis because it's lacking in Miskayim, and Kol Malacha Sheni Miskayevis B'Shabbos Potur Aleha. No, that's not what the Rambam has in mind. The Rambam has in mind that Ksiva itself, the way the Torah defines, or the, I don't know if you could say the image, you know, the Torah image of Ksiva in any context whatsoever is a Ksiva Miskayemes. That's not because of Shabbos. What the Mishnah does on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, and the Rambam rightfully codifies that in Tzoveya, is it requires Malacha. You know, it's telling you something about the definition of Malacha. It's not telling you something about what is considered ksav or what is considered tseva. You know, we're not going into details here about tseva. We're defining malacha. Malacha has to be a malacha miskayemes. If it's not a malacha miskayemes, that's not a malacha. So what I'm finding very difficult is that the Magid Mishnah, when he gets to Perek Yud Aleph, in the case of ksiva b'mei peros, he finds it necessary to invoke the Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. The Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis is not relevant to the Rambam. The Mishnah that the Rambam is basing himself on is on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. That would have been fine. And what does the Mishnah say on Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis? The Mishnah says that Hakosev Al Besaro, etc., is Potu Hakosev Bidyo Ischayev. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, peros, etc., etc. It's potter because das hasten kiksiva. That's not called ksav. When the Torah talks about writing, it's talking about something that's permanent. And that's why, if you write a get with made peros, the Rambam Perek Daled Milkos Gerushin says, ain't no get. On a deraisal level, the Torah doesn't recognize ksiva unless it's Bidyo and Bidobar Miskayim as opposed to Mei Peros. What I'd like to do for the next few minutes, it's an experiment, and you'll tell me if the experiment succeeded, is to try to reinterpret the Magid Mishnah in a way that would be more consistent with what I think the Rambam is telling us. How am I going to achieve that goal? What I'm going to try to do is read another line in the Rambam that has to be emphasized. We're back into the same halach in the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tezvav, but here I want to emphasize a different part of the Rambam. And that is Dovar HaMiskayim. Okay, please underline either in the book that you have or in your mind Dovar HaMiskayim, the word Dovar. What do I mean? At the beginning of the Rambam says that you need Dyo, Shachar, etc. And then the Rambam says that it's not enough that you wrote with Dyo, but you also have to write Al Dovar HaMiskayim. Let's try to see what the Rambam means by Dovar HaMiskayim. The Rambam says, Kigon Or, Chlaf, Niar, V'Yetz. The Rambam gives us four examples, then he writes Kiyotzibahen, and there are other examples. That's called Kosav Al Dovar HaMiskayim. Not Kosav Al Yidei Dovar HaMiskayim, but Kosav Al Dovar HaMiskayim. Did you follow the difference? Right. Let me try that again. That didn't... What I just said probably didn't make any sense. Let me just try it again. There are two requirements that the Rambam formulates here in Kosev, in order to be Chayav on Shabbos. One is Kosav Al yidei dio hamiskayim, right? That the dio itself should give you a ksav hamiskayim. And then the Rambam speaks about davar hamiskayim in the sense of the material on which he writes. So in English we would say there are two alofs. What material does he write with, and what material does he write on? And that's not a pedantic distinction. This is not just playing with words. These are fundamentally two different concepts. So you've got to write with an ink that's permanent. You've got to write on something that remains permanent. Now the Rambam is going to tell you, vis-a-vis both these halachas, when are you potter? Again, when are you chayv? When you wrote with dio, etc. And you wrote on or and klaf. Now the Rambam says, avol. He says, where is it? Avol kosa b'davar she'ein rishumo omed. Instead of using ink that's permanent, he uses mashkin umei peros. So that's one case where he's potter. Now we have to have another case where he's potter because the davar on which he wrote is not miskayim. Kosa b'dyo, fine. So he wrote with the davar miskayim as far as the ink is concerned. But b'davar she'ein rishumo, I'm sorry, I skipped to. Al ole yirokos the al kol davar she'eino omed pot. Now we're no longer talking about the material which we call dio, that the ink that he wrote with, but the material on which he wrote. And the Rambam says if he wrote on a davar she'eino omed, then he's potter. And the Rambam gives the example of olive. What are olive?
Leaves.
Okay, now Here's my take on this. And again, you're the jury. When the Rambam spoke about the ink and he required that it be a davar miskayim, we determined, based on the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin, that that's not a specific, unique Shabbos halacha, but rather a general, universal halacha defining ksiva in kol ha-Torah kula. Therefore, if he wrote with meperos, the get is not worth anything. It's eino get. Now let's raise the same question with regard to the second requirement that the Rambam postulates. Namely, that in order to be chayef ksiva, you have to have a davar miskayim that you're writing on or klaf niyar v'chayotze behen, as opposed to olim. Is that a specific Shabbos halacha? Or once again, as we saw before in terms of the ink that he uses, it's a universal halacha that defines ksav. The ksav has to be miskayim, meaning the object or the material on which he wrote is going to be miskayim. Where am I going to look in this research project to determine one way or the other? Hilchos Gerushin. That's always going to be my barometer. So what happens if he writes a get on a leaf? Okay, that's my question. So let's open up the Rambam, and that I think I have here in your Mara Makomas pages. I think it's Perik Dalet Halacha Gimel. Okay, so in my Rambam it moves over to the left side. I don't know if you're on that, so I don't know if it works the same way, but here it's on the left side. And the Rambam writes the following. The get has to be written on something solid, something durable. Correct? That's what you would say, right? And when I start the Rambam Halacha Gimel, that's certainly the impression I get. You know, he's talking about diftera. Diftera is a kind of a skin. And cheres is a kind of a piece of china or pottery. But then he writes the al ha'olim on leaves. And if you look in the Magen Mishnah, he quotes a Gemara Masechta Gittin, and the Gemara says that kosav al ola shel zayis is kosher. Now, if that be the case, the case Rabosai, if I'm doing my comparative study of the two Rambams, and I start with the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, and then I go to the Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, back and forth on these two issues, in terms of the second requirement, namely it should be written on something permanent, the Rambam holds that in Hilchos Get, you don't have to write on something permanent. The Pasuk says, v'kosav, So it means that that's called a ksiva. Now this Rav Ossai touches on a whole different issue, which is called Eidi Mesira Karse or Eidi Chasima Karse. We passing like Rav Loza that Eidi Mesira Karse, which means at the very moment that she gets the get, she's Megureshes. And therefore, if this Ola goes up in smoke, so to speak, I'm using that figuratively, it matters not. She's already Megureshes. The moment the get reaches her hand, she's Megureshes. She may not be able to prove it in court, for that she'll need what? Eidi Mesira, who saw the Mesira Saget with this Ola, right? But nevertheless, the Maisa Gerishin did what it had to do, and now she has to prove it in Bezdin. What did you want to say, Sam?
I wanted to ask you whether there's a difference between the leaves of vegetables and the leaves of a zayit.
I don't think so.
But he uses...
Because the Rambam says olive. He doesn't specify.
Ale zayit, ale yirakot.
Oh, he does say ale zayit?
Yes.
I have ale olive. Interesting. You have a different text than me. Fascinating.
I didn't make this up.
No, I'm not saying you made it up. I'm saying I have what you call Frankel.
I'm not looking at this now. I did not make this up. Okay.
Yeah. I have Frankel and all the posts. No. All the posts can derive from this that all of them are good.
I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah, because Rav doesn't qualify. He says that all of them are good.
So, I don't understand. Why does he say on the leaves and on the terrace and on whatever? According to what you just said, you could write it on anything. And as long as it's...
I guess leaves would be a paradigm example of something that's here today and gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, it disintegrates.
So in other words, this list is not all the same. It's things that are permanent and things that are not permanent.
Right. Or maybe diphtera, I'm not sure. Diphtera is a very thin kind of substance, which I don't know how permanent it is. So Rama may be giving you different gradations, mm-hmm. you know, until finally gets to olin.
Which is the lowest.
That's the most disintegratable, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to last very long. But the Rambam is saying the following, then. If our comparative analysis is correct, then this is what you call a brisker tzvei dinim. This would be a classical example of brisk. We have one din which is universal and defines ksiva kol tarkula. It happens to apply to Shabbos just as one application, one example of many. And we have another din which is a unique Shabbos halacha and does not apply to get. And again, everything now is gonna cash in on tefillin. For example, it's gonna be an afkamina legabi ksivas tefillin. But let's just go over it. The first halacha, namely that you have to write with dio, you have to write with something that's permanent. That defines ksivin kol tarkula. And therefore, if the get was written with neperos, it's ain't no get. The second halacha that's got to be written on cloth and or and niar and the like. That the Rambam has only in Hilchos Shabbos. He doesn't apply and extend that rule, that condition to Shar Dini HaTorah, Shar Dini Ksiva. Because that's a unique Shabbos halacha, has no implications as far as Kol HaTorah Kulah is concerned. So again, if according to our understanding in the Rambam, what would be if he wrote tefillin with May Peros? Possible. What would be if he wrote tefillin on Oleh? Again, for the time that it lasts, after it fades away, that's it. But for that period of time, it's a ksiva, and the tefillin would be kosher. Now, if that be the case, let's go back to the Magid Mishnah. And I have good news for you now. Before, we had some bad news in the Magid Mishnah, but now I have very good news. Because if you take a look carefully in the Magid Mishnah here in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, the Magid Mishnah, Halacha Tesvav. So the Magid Mishnah, if you'll see, has two, how do you say in English, a Dibra Maskel? There's a word for that, isn't there?
SB, Latin.
Oh, SB, right? You know what I'm talking about, a koteret in Hebrew? There must be a Latin word for it, okay. You know, because if you're in the academic world, you know the...
Super verse.
So if you take a look, there are two Divya Maskels in this Magid Mishnah. If I was the printer, I would have pressed the return button, and they should have been on two different lines. Because in the opening, he says, Eina Kosef Chayev Ad, and then he refers to the Mishnah on Kuf Dalet Amid Beis. But then he has another Dibra Maskil. V'yichtov al Dover HaMiskayim. And then he writes, in the name of the Tosefta Zeh Klal, meaning this is a Klal which replies in Kol Melech HaShabbos. And then at the end he writes, Ukvar Kasavti V'per Tes, which is referring to what? Melech HaSoveya, Mishnah Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Mukrachas the Mechol Melech HaShabbos V'even Dover HaMiskayim. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Magid Mishnah's addition here, his comment, is not going on the Reisha of the Rambam, because the Reisha says the Kesef Mishnah is a different halacha. It's going on the Sefer. The Reisha is talking about a halacha that's not based on Melech HaShabbos and how to define the concept of Melech HaShabbos. The Reisha is defined on universal Ksiva. When does the Magid Mishnah invoke the Mishnah Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis they call Molocha Shehim Es Kayem Es Chayav Shabbos? That's only when he gets to the Sefer, when he's talking about writing on an Oleh, where the Rambam says that's not Chayav and Shabbos, that's a unique Shabbos Halacha. And it's based on what we call Molocha HaMiskayemes. It doesn't define Ksiva as a universal concept. Torah, the Rambam, Perek Gimel, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Gimel of Hazgerishin, is going to be Machshir Get that was written on an Olah. So now the Magid Mishnah is shining bright. You know, it's really really very sharp. So if you ask yourself the question, on what source is the Rambam basing his conclusion here when he codifies this halacha? The answer is two different sources, because they parallel two different halachas which are fundamentally different one from the other. If you're talking about what's the source for the Rambam as far as writing with Meperos is concerned, so it means he's using an Eino Miskayim for Ksiva, the Rambam source is the Mishnah here on Kuf Dalet, which is just simply another application of the universal rule that you must have ink in order to qualify for Ksiva. And if you write with Meperos, that's not Ksiva. The Rambam has that in Hilchos Gerush and Perek Dalet Lachal. Says the Magid Mishnah, but when I get to the Sefer the Rambam, the second halacha, which is a unique Shabbos halacha, namely that it's got to be written on a Dover HaMiskayim, like Or and like Klaf and Nior and the like, Eitz, then in the case of writing on an Oleh, on Ol Shel Yirakos and other examples, the Rambam says your Potter, that's already based on the Mishnah. At the beginning of Perek Habona, naming the Mishnah on Kuf Beis Amid Beis, Zeh Klal Kol Molocha Shemis Kayemis B'Shabbos Chayim. Now, I don't know if you appreciated what we just said, but I got very excited about this. Yeah. Could very well be. You might suggest that if we hold like Rabbi Meir that Eidei Masir and that Eidei Chasima Karsi, then the law changes, because the whole purpose of the get is not just to effectuate the Kenyan Gerishin but also to supply her with a raya, and therefore you need Chasima Saget. Well, I don't know if Chasima Saget is going to be much of a raya on an Ola Shel Zayis or any Ola, because today it's here and tomorrow it's gone. Good point. And then I tried to hint at this before. Okay. Now, I want to mention the Sharat Siyun, which is number 7 on your page. And this is the Mishnah Brura in Simon Shin Gimel. Maybe, I think there is a Mishnah Brura here somewhere on the table. If you could just open it up to the Sharat Siyun. You have one, Mitch? Maybe you look it over, then you'll pass it on to us. So hopefully you'll find Simon Shin Gimel, and the Os is Samach Ches. Okay. Now let me just give a little bit of background to this Shar HaTziyun of the Mishnah Brura. Usually when we look at the Mishnah Brura, you know, any bombastic chidushim are in the Bir Halacha. Yeah, thank you so much. Samaches. Whoops. Just want to make sure it doesn't fall in any water here. Okay. But sometimes, on rare occasions, down here in the small print of the Shaar HaTzion, you can find a chiddush if you go fishing. But a little background to this Shaar HaTzion. The language of the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaBona is a bit strange. It says the following. It says, Zakhla, Kol ha'ose melacha u'melachto miskayemes. Now I'm going to skip a word for pedagogic reasons. Chayev. So a person does a melacha miskayemes, he's chayev. Now which word did I skip? B'Shabbos. Now where does this word B'Shabbos fit in? You could learn the following pshat, which I think Rashi is coming to exclude. Bafukin. You could say that maybe this word B'Shabbos is an adjective describing miskayemis, the word that came right before it. When and what constitutes a melacha miskayemis? It means it's miskayemis B'Shabbos. If it disappears after Shabbos, yechayev. Why? Because it lasted through Shabbos. And Rashi says, no, that's not right pshat. Rashi says, B'Shabbos, a'ose melacha koy. Take the word Shabbos, lift it with a crane, and lay it down at the beginning of the sentence in the Mishnah. And it should read the following, Zakal kol a'ose melacha B'Shabbos, u'melachto miskayemes chayev. So basically what Rashi does for us, he takes the word B'Shabbos and he replaces it in the Mishnah, in a different part of the Mishnah. Because Rashi's coming lafuke the way we would have read the Mishnah, that it means what's considered a melacha miskayemes, if it's melacha miskayemes B'Shabbos. It comes out that Rashi, according to the Shaar HaTzion, is, I don't want to feed this to you, but 50-50 you'll get it right anyway. Is this a chumrah or a kula?
It's a kula for the Shaar HaTzion.
It's a chumrah. Why is it a chumrah? Because now according to the Shaar HaTzion, Rashi's coming to tell you that all I need to make it into a melacha Michael's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got the cheshbon wrong. I'm very bad at cheshbon. The cheshbon is Michael's, yeah. We would have thought, L'chumra, and Rashi's coming lafuke, that as long as it lasts for the entire Shabbos, it's already a melacha miskayemes. Rashi says, no. Melacha miskayemes means miskayemes. I'd be as goer. And it's not enough that it was miskayemes l'Shabbos. You know, it lasted for whatever, it depends on when you did the melacha, but 24 hours max. No, that's not enough. Rashi says, and this is a tremendous kula, that you need a melacha miskayemes, period. Okay then? Now, who disagrees with Rashi? The Rambam. Because let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says, and let's go back to Perek Tes. Which halakha was it? Yud Gimel. The Rambam says the following. Kol she'ein melachto miskayemes b'Shabbos patur. The last five words in the Rambam in this halacha. What's the flip side, Rabbi Osei? If the Rambam says that you're patur because ein melachto miskayemes b'Shabbos, then when would you be chayev? Hello, anybody home? If it was melachto miskayemes b'Shabbos. You see, in the Mishnah, you can play games. You know, Rashi could say, well, the word B'Shabbos was belong here and there, blah, blah, blah. But in the Rambam, you can't play any games. The Rambam is telling us the Paskin Halacha from his work. And he's telling you that when you're potter, it's Ein Melachta Miskayemes B'Shabbos. So it means that the Rambam is a Gevaldige Chumra. Because the Rambam is saying that if it lasts for the course, for the balance of Shabbos, that makes it into a Melachta Miskayemes. And therefore the Rambam interpreted that Mishnah the way we interpreted that Mishnah. That the word B'Shabbos goes back on the word Malachta Miskayemis. What makes it into Malachta Miskayemis is for Kayemis B'Shabbos.
His wording in the primary phrase is Eino Mitzkayim Klal.
Yeah, but Klal means that it's not, it's going to get, it's going to disappear immediately, right? It's Eino Mitzkayim Klal.
The Rambam
is saying, no, it's beautiful. The Rambam is very much Lashita, so let me try it, Sam.
Please.
Let's start from the Seif and then go back to the Reisha. The Seif is telling you that it's got to be Mitzkayim just until the end of Shabbos. Like you mentioned, this runner, you know, he's almost at the finish line. He's running out of breath. The finish line is the end of Shabbos. If it makes it to the end of Shabbos, that's called a Molacha Mitzkayim, and Yechai. The Rambam says, but if you have a tseva she'eino miskayim klal, that means after an hour it's going to dissipate, then you're potter. So it comes out according to the Sharat Zion of the Mishnah Brura, we have a gevaldige kula in Rashi and a gevaldige chum in the Rambam. I wonder if there are any middle shittas here, because these are two very extreme shittas. I would have liked to have a 3-day, 72 hours or something like that. But it comes out according to the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar Tzion. Rashi is telling you that in order to be chayav, it's got to be permanent. Period. Permanent means permanent. I call it obvious going. According to the Rambam, on the other hand, it's got all it has to do is last through Shabbos. Okay. Now, if you take a look on the flip side of your Mara Makomos pages, if you turn the page around, so I have here, I wrote in a few words here just because I ran out of paper to photocopy with. Do you see I wrote the words Masha Potra Ha Mishnah Biksav She'ena Shel Kayoma? Okay. So this line begins with the Sharat Zion on the previous page, in which the Sharat Zion holds that according to the Rambam, just one second, let me just get this straight. Is this the Rambam or Rashi? I don't want to get, I told you in Cheshvan I'm pretty bad. This is the Rambam, the Gevaldige Chumra. The Mishnah says that if you write with a Ksav She'eino Miskayim, you're Potur. Masha Potra HaMishnah, says the Mishnah Brura, according to the Rambam, Ksav She'eino Shel Kayom HaYinu She'eino Miskayim Afilu Ad Motzi Shabbos. It won't last until after Shabbos. If it lasts as short of a period as Motzi Shabbos, that's who Shita? The Rambam Shita. And that means the Rambam read the Mishnah Kepshuta. That's the Sharat Zion. However, says the Sharat Zion, there's a Rashba. And if you don't agree with me in my interpretation of Rashi, you'll have to agree with me in the Rashba. So again, from the perspective of the Mishnah Berurah, whether you call it Rashi or you call it the Rashba makes no difference. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Because the Rashba says that Mashet Tzorech Ksav HaMiskayim B'Shabbos Ein HaKavona Li'olam Ela She'ei Nishar HaKsav Lizman Aruch Kiderech Sifrei Zichronos She'nichtovim Lizman Aruch. Im kein ledas harashba be'inan she'iskayim lizman oruch yosem yasher ad motzoi Shabbos. Now again, I'm not sure if this means ad bias goa, but let me at least present what it says in the Rashba. The Rashba says that when it says in the Mishnah that you're potter because it went away after a certain period of time, it doesn't mean it evaporated or disintegrated within Shabbos itself. It's miskayim b'Shabbos. It lasts through Shabbos, but nevertheless you're potter. Wa'ad, when are you going to be chayav, according to the Rashba? She nishar haksav lizman oruch. What I do know is what I do know. What I don't know is what I don't know. What I do know is L'zman Aruch means sometime after Shabbos, beyond Shabbos. What I don't know is what constitutes Zman Aruch. But here, Zev, I would use your concept, because he quotes this concept called Sifrei HaZichronos. Now again, if you go back to Achashverosh, right? So I assume that Sifrei HaZichronos means some sort of very permanent kind of Ksav. Why? Because, again, I don't know how long it took from Bigson and Seresh until Laila, who knows the Shnas Samel, but theoretically, even if it took 20 years, he would be able to take out the Sifrei HaZichronos and read what he wrote 20 years ago. Like, for example, my father-in-law bought a Sefer Torah for us on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. He paid $1,000 for a Sefer Torah. And I couldn't believe it. I said, Shmer, how did you buy a Sefer Torah for $1,000? Sefer Torah, what does Sefer Torah sell for today? A new one. $35, $40. How'd you get it for $1,000? You know, on the Lower East Side, you get anything cheap, right? So I said, but this is what? Yeah. No, I'll tell you why he got it so cheap. The Sefer Torah was 150 years old. That's what my friend Yisrael Klein, who's an expert in Sifrei Torah, he has a place over here outside of Har Nov, Ote Yisrael, so that's what he claims. Now, watch what happens here. Old wine is good wine, but old Sifrei Torah not good, because the ink fails. Now they're developing new methods of long-lasting ink, but 150 years... Anyway, I had the Sefer Torah checked. They have now a possibility of checking a Sefer Torah with a computer. And the computer came up with X number of faded letters. I don't remember exactly how many. This is a mice of 10 years ago. But many, many letters. Now, it cost me $5,000 to be metake in the Sefer Torah. All told, we spent $6,000 on the Sefer Torah. So I said to myself, it's still a bargain, you know. It's like, you know, you go down to a place where they sell second, you know, used clothing, right? So, you know, it doesn't exactly fit you, but you go to a tailor, so you buy it for $25, the tailor can charge you another $25, you get yourself a brand new suit for $50. But it doesn't work that way, it's a fake tour, and I learned it the hard way. Even after they rewrote most of the same Torah, 20 years later, that's it. It's gone. And I took it to a posek, and he said, look, I'm not going to paskin for you, but there are at least five fundamental shailos that appear throughout the Sefer Torah. Five different issues in Hilchos Sefer Torah. He suggested I go to Rav Rubin, Shlita, and maybe Rav Rubin will find a way of making on five different psulim. And basically, the Sefer Torah now has been collecting dust for years, and on Simchas Torah, sometimes we take it out to dance with it, and that's about it. So a big bargain I got for $6,000, you know. But, all right, look, it lasted for a certain period of time. The kids are Maisa, when the Rashba says that in order to make this Ksav into a Ksav of this kind, it's got to be Dumya de Sefer Zichronos, Lizman Aruch, I think what he has in mind is not 3 days, you know. He really has in mind Zman Aruch. And this is the Gevaldige Kula of Rashi, that Rashi says it's got to be a Dover Miskayim, period. Take out the word Shabbos. Rambam had the word Shabbos, and he read it literally, Dover Miskayim b'Shabbos. And if it lasts until Motzi Shabbos, that's called a Dover Miskayim. Intuitively, I would agree with Rashi and the Rashba. Not only because I want a Kula, which could be very relevant in hospitals today, but even beyond that, because intuitively you want to talk about Meleches Makshevis, you tell me, oh, it's Meleches Makshevis because it lasts till after Shabbos. No, the Rambam wants to understand that Meleches Makshevis is relative to Hilchos Shabbos. But take a look at the next paragraph. This is fascinating. He writes that when we spoke about Dio before, we said that you need to write it with a Dover Miskayim, and that's not a Meleches Makshevas Halacha, but that's a Dinin Ksiva B'chol HaTorah Kula, and that we proved from the Rambam at the beginning and fourth paragraph of Hilchos Gerishin. And if you didn't use Dio, but rather used fruit juices, then it's not a get at all. And who did B'ksiva Shal Kol HaTorah Kula Kach Gam Lefi Rambam Be'inin Ka'arash B'shiyach L'Zman Oruch V'rak B'Dio Or Rak B'din Niyar Shudin B'Shabbos Yeshlom Shudin Shiyavet Al Motzoi Shabbos. Beautiful shtickle Torah. Are you ready for this? This is Mamish. We need a Birchas Hanenim for this. He says the following, that this Chiddush of the Rambam, that it becomes a Dovra Miskayim because it lasts until after Shabbos, that's a Halach in Meleches Machsheves. That's not a Halach in Kol HaTorah Kula. The Rambam would agree that in Kol HaTorah Kula you would need a Dovra Miskayim Mamish, like the Rashba says, a Dovra Miskayim Lizman Aruch. That's a Sefer HaZichronos. Why? Because you don't have the element of Meleches Machsheves. So if you want to say Meleches Machsheves, so we can say the following. You did a Meleches Machsheves because it's going to last until after Shabbos. So let's say you had a Dio, says the Rambam, that would last till after Shabbos, then you would be Chayev. It's Lefi Rambam, in the case of universal Ksiva, there the Rambam would say that you certainly need that it lasts as Zman Aruch, and otherwise it's not called Ksiv. So again, we have the din of Dio and we have the din of Nia. The din of Dio, we said, was called Tarkula the Halacha, and you need Dio even as far as Get is concerned. You wrote with May Paris, it's not a Get. And the din of what of Al Dover Amiskayim, which means it's got to be a Klaf or Nia or Eitz. That's a halacha in Meleches Machsheves. So if you want to tell me that it becomes Miskayim because it lasts till after Shabbos, that I can understand if you're talking about a specific, unique halacha of Meleches Machsheves in Shabbos. Like, for example, that it has to be written on a cloth. And then I could say, well, what makes it into Meleches Machsheves? It's Miskayim until after Shabbos. And then we read the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek HaBonah the way the Rambam wants us to read it. But when it comes to Ksiva Kol Tarkula, you know, Adshi She's Kayim Adli Acher Shabbos, that's just not a category. It's got to be a Dovra Miskayim. And that defines Ksiva Kol Tarkula universally. And therefore, the Rashba is right from that perspective. And the Rambam never meant to argue with the Rashba on that. Then in order to make it into a Dovra Miskayim, you would have to have Zman Aruch, and it would have to last for a very long time. Ubimagin Mishnah Mavuar Keha Sharatzion Shekosav Beperk Tes Halochi Yigimol Gabi Malocha Miskayemes. That's the case of Tzoveah, and this is the language of the Magin Mishnah. He says, Zen Numa Midina Kosev She'eno Ela B'Dovra HaMiskayim Kimavuar Beperek Yudalit. Ubipashas Kamenosal in Niar, the Lorak Liksavim, Ken Shavayim Midin Miskayemis Bishavis, the Lo Midin Ksiva. In other words, the Magid Mishnah here is making an analogy between Tseva Miskayim and Ksava Miskayim. And he writes, Zed Nilma Midin Akosev Shehenu Elubidover Miskayim, which the Rambam holds is Miskayim until after Shabbos. So he's saying that even in Ksiva, all you need is a Dovra Miskayim until after Shabbos. Well, it depends what he's referring to. If he's referring to the first din, which is a universal din in Ksiva, that doesn't make any sense. If he's referring to the second din, which is the din that requires klaf to the exclusion of olim, then you might say, since that's a specific, unique, limited halacha to Meleches Machsheves and Shabbos, therefore it's enough if it's Miskayim until after Shabbos. So it's interesting, the Rambam writes Niyar, right? Niyar as opposed to Olah Shel Yirakos. Maybe the Rambam wants to demonstrate, you know, he's illustrate that Yirakos, it's like so thin, it's not even going to last till after Shabbos, because that's a unique halacha until Shabbos.
Wasn't such a thing as Niyar at the time of the Rambam?
The Rambam writes about Niyar. I don't know. You'd have to do the research for me. I think all these manuscripts that date back to the time of the Rambam are either written on Klaf or Niyar, I think. The ones that are written on Niyar are hardly legible today, you know. But I just want to finish up and let you go. The punchline in this whole story is that when the Rambam is telling us that it's a Malacha She'ena Miskayemes in Ksiva, and he's referring specifically to the material on which the Ksiva was written, and he gives you the example of Olah Shel Yirakos, what he really means is, according to the Magid Mishnah, that the Olah Shel Yirakos, just, it's not going to last. Not even till after Shabbos. it could be that Niyar is really like an Ola, and it's not going to last, but at least it'll last till after Shabbos. So therefore the Rambam places Niyar together with Klaf and Eitz in the category of a few Shabbos. Okay then? So Blinetta will continue this on Yom Chamishi.